Hello, this is Community Coffee Break for Sunday, 8th of November. Welcome. I'm BP9. How are you? And to my right is Peter. Give me a wave, Peter. Thank you, sir. And then we've got Doug also. Give me a wave, Doug. Welcome to the coffee break. Let's see. What have I been up to? I've been up to no good. You all know that I've been messing with this Model 100, right? You all remember that.
I am recording. Oh, yeah.
We're all good, yeah. So, you know I've been messing with this, right?
Yep.
So, that's the nice, handy-dandy U-Butte whiz-bang Model 100. Great little machine. And as you saw, Doug, it has the serial port.
Yep.
That you use to connect to the disk drive or whatever it is you've got for storage. Well, I started messing with the handy dandy display that I got on the Perspex cover. Now let me deploy this thing. And so my thought was, I mean, this is janky as all get out, and I'm sorry, but my thought was that I would just put the Model 100 right there, okay?
Right.
And I would put the, you see, I've used shipping tape to attach the display to the Perspex board, and I did that just to mock it up, to see how well it fits, right? So this is the VT100. You've already seen that, right? And then the Model 100 will fit.
What about legs something to make it 45 degrees, you know? So you got a leg at the back so you can have it 45 degrees.
So,
like
yeah, so the idea is that that this is supposed to be on your lap like this laptop does already, right? But I don't know. There's a couple of use cases for this. One of the use cases is that I am trying to transcribe old documentation that actually came for this machine. You know, stuff that hasn't been digitized yet. So, transcribe it to a document, to a text formatting language like TeX. And then use the main machine to actually process it, create PDFs, ebooks, whatever I need to create from that. Another use case is literally just to write notes, write documents, write books, whatever, right? And this might work for that use case, except the problem I've got is that this all looks all nice and easy now with no, you know, with nothing, but nothing's connected, right? Now, just imagine if I had a serial port, a serial cable coming out of here and then running somehow to here. So I've got like a 3-foot serial cable that runs from here to here. Then I've got a VGA cable that's 3 or 4 feet, runs from here to here. In fact, that's the cable right there. Then I've got to run power from here, from this unit, out to mains or some source of 12 volts. Then I've got to run power from the Model 100 to some source of 5 volts or 6 volts. Then I've got to run power from here to some source of 5 volts, 6 volts, whatever USB provides. And so it just gets crazy. It is no longer a nice, easy, portable solution anymore. Hello, Solbu. Welcome.
Hey, Solbu.
I saw you were doing the retro feel, the retro imaging again for a second or so, which was nice.
Yeah, it's my it happens every time as I start Zoom. It's all black and white, and it's pixelated for some reason. And all I have to do is turn the camera off and on.
Okay, interesting. Okay. So I was talking about my projected setup for the Model 100 with the 7-inch screen and the MBT 100 right here. Which is
small screen on that system makes it look like a cash register.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, I was just explaining as you logged in, Sobu, that this all looks great as long as you've got nice, easy. As long as nothing's connected, but I don't know if you saw that I would have to connect serial RS-232 from here to here, right? Then I would have to connect VGA from here to here. Then I would have to connect, power from here to some source of 5 or 6 volts, power from some source from here to some source of 12 volts, and power from here or to here from some source of 6 volts. And so it's just all the power requirements, it's just not very portable anymore at all.
You could run the 5 volt off the 12 volt through a couple of regulators.
That's true. I've certainly considered that. And so, Boo, look at my handiwork, man. I mean, it's all shipping tape. It's all shipping tape just to hold it in place, right? But you got to start somewhere, right? The whole point is to see if you can make it work. Is to see if it's even viable.
Is the plastic thing? Is that on all the speaker stand where you have some papers while you are presenting something?
No, and that's one of the things that I need to. One of the things I need to do, and Peter touched on this earlier, was that it would be great to be able to hold the documents up at like 45 degrees if you're transcribing documents, which is one of the use cases for this setup. You really need something that will hold the document up at 45 or 50
degrees. You want to
put a document holder.
Not going to get the back yet. I mean, the back to hold yet. The thing is slanted like that.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do that with this laptop with the Perspex case. I mean, what this is, Solbu, whoever it was that asked, I'm sorry, I forgot who asked, but was it you, Solbu, that asked this, what this was?
Yes.
What this started out as is a platform to mount a laptop in my vehicle, because as a ham radio operator, and Peter, you know this, as a ham radio operator, sometimes running APRS, way back in the early days, back when I was a lad, you had to run a full-blown laptop in your vehicle, right? So what this was, I don't know if you can even see the four mounting bolts there. Yes. They mounted to plumbing fixtures that you ran, you ran plumbing pipe down to the seat mount on the passenger side seat. So you fit this thing right here. Remember, Peter, we drive on the right-hand side of the road in Australia, in the US, and so the driver is on the left-hand side of the car, so the laptop is on the passenger side. It's on the right-hand side for me, and so this thing would be rigid, would sit in the car but stay out of the passenger's way. And you could actually mount a laptop in here. Of course, that didn't last very long. That's just way too bulky. If you look at the local police or law enforcement vehicles, they have a similar setup, which is where I copied this from. you can buy these as a kit, but I haven't used it for years and years and years. And I thought this will be perfect for mounting the Model 100 right here. And as you saw earlier, how I had the display and all, but the wires just make it unusable. It's just not a viable solution.
In my old church, we used to have a microphone stand, and instead of the stand on top that you screw on top of that, you have
you mean the goose head
we have one of those plastic thingy. Only I think it is a foot wider than yours, and they use it to have the lyrics for the song.
It would work great as a podium for sure. You know, you could put whatever book or document or whatever you wanted for reference right there. At 45, but you'd need like the proper stand and everything to make it a proper podium.
And it was the four screw holes that made me think of the.
Okay. Is that how it works? You know, with a podium as well, you use the four screw holes to hold it in place.
Yeah, but I've never seen one that is not screwed into a mounting that you put on something.
Okay. Yeah, it worked. It worked really well in the car. Or in the vehicle, but I wouldn't use it now. And of course, there's the way I've set this up was purely as a mock-up to see if it was going to work for me.
Yeah.
It's just not gonna work. So, but I suspected that already. But what I did not suspect was what I did not realize was that the wiring was going to be such a hassle.
Yeah,
I can mount all the devices nicely. If I didn't have to wire them up, it would be great. I wouldn't use up any space at all, and it would be wonderful. But it just isn't going to work. And you very quickly realize.
If only there was some battery-powered device that could do the same, what a world that would be, right?
Yeah. You soon realize that people who designed this thing really thought it through, because this is this thing just standalone. It feels quite bulky now compared to 2020 model, but there's been nothing like this since. There's been the 102, which is a later version of this. There was the 200, which is a version that has the full size keyboard, but it has the display that folds up. And that was the precursor to the proper laptops. And you begin to realize.
In those days, things were often still made to last a few 5 and 10 years.
Oh yes, this was made to last many, many years. There is no doubt about that.
And it was if you wanted to and had the skills, you could open it up and switch broken things, broken parts out for new ones.
I've done it. I've already done it, because this thing has a 3-volt memory battery that its sole job is to keep the memory alive while you're switching out AA batteries out of the unit, because it runs on 4 AA batteries. So nominally 6 volts.
Well, one question that I have that I'm watching Louis Rossmann's channel quite often, and in the last year he has been touring.
Sorry, I did not catch that name. What was the name?
Louis Rossmann.
I don't know who he is.
Yeah, he fixes Apple products. And
Yes, you posted a video in the chat. Okay. That's where I've heard that name.
Yeah, and he has a channel where he show people. He has been doing it for 10 or 12 years. Mm-hmm. But if you have a problem with an Apple product, this is how you figure out what is wrong with it, and this is how you fix it. And in the last year and a half, 2 years, he has been touring the U.S., attending public meetings about Right to Repair Acts one of the things he always mentions when he is talking to the public hearings,
mm-hmm.
is in the old days, things often, if you open up the back of your old TV, or if you open up your old it had schematics on the back.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That thing you have there, does it have a schematic if you open it up?
Not if I open it up, but there are books you can buy, and I bought one that has a schematic. If I can do this without. Whoa!
Whoops.
Up!
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that is a manufactured, supplied
schematic? No, it's third party. It's third party. Yeah. So, I'm trying to fold it up, and of course, this is like a sectional in the airplane. You can't fold it up to make it fit for a lot more money.
But at least those schematics is from an era where the manufacturers didn't mind people either sharing schematics or making their own and sharing them.
And I would like to figure out how to transcribe that schematic to electronic format to include it in a tech document.
Scan it and make a picture of it. They put it in a PDF file.
I could scan it, but if I do that, it'll be way too small. And I'll lose a lot of resolution.
What you do is you do bits of it.
I could do that too. I like that it's all on one sheet, and I haven't figured out quite how to do that yet. I would love to be able to record it as one sheet, you know, one large schematic. And there are programs that I started. G-Scheme is one of them, but I think it relied on some old packages. I don't think you can get G-Scheme anymore.
It as one large schematic, but yes, what were you going to do with it?
Oh, eventually include it as part of the documentation for that.
Why not just take a high-resolution photograph of it?
I could do that. I had hoped to. Go ahead, Peter.
Most of the manufacturers, that's why I manufacture all my radios, because some of them are very big like that. They do it in fours, and they show the top half, and then they do the bit of the
deck. They show modules. Well, that's easier to do with a radio because you have various sections, right? You've got the
not all the one board things, they're all one board things. Okay. Radio, So,
can you imagine trying to repair a recent radio, even a ham radio these days? I mean, it's crazy.
I was going to say,
it's surface mounted parts and all kinds of stuff. Like, horrible. It's almost impossible.
Horrible surface mounted parts. Yep. I hate them.
Yep. Yeah, well, they are.
And today you have a manufacturer, so Apple is a very good example of this, but they're not alone. But they are the biggest. Where they actually get out of their way. They are falling over themselves in inventing ways to stop people from repairing it. Then the latest example is the newest iPhone 12. Someone made a 15-minute long video where he demonstrated what happened if you... He bought two identical iPhones, a red and a black one, I think. And he moved the main board from one phone to the other.
It probably wouldn't start, would it?
Yes, it started, but you had to plug in the charger in order to start it. And the camera didn't work, and a lot of things didn't work because it complained that it was a fraud battery, or it was fraud something or another. And then he moved the main board back and showed that it worked fine. And then he moved only the cameras, and it was the same thing. So,
each little module has its own serial number and must be recorded with that motherboard. So the motherboard will only work with those units, with that camera, with that serial number.
Yes, I don't know.
That
Apple
keyboard.
What they used to do in the old days was in England, UK, Work Service Department, and we used to mark these screws with red stuff to stop people down, but the other one they use is like a star screw. You need a special screwdriver for it. So stop people out temperate and things.
Yeah, but these days But Peter, these days, there's companies like iFixit that will just, they'll sell you all the screw bits you need to.
I know that.
Get into those.
Yeah, but I've had problem with Apple with my wife's Apple already, and that's all problem where the battery went and they wrecked it basically almost.
The biggest problem, and I don't want to bash on Apple, but the problem I have with their parts, with their things, is that you put something in there, you'll never get it back out again. I put PDFs in there, I put ebooks in there. I can't get them back out for love nor money. So you better keep a copy of them.
It's secure.
Anyway, so all right, we've just got a few minutes left.
This is a few good examples of the importance of owning good products that you actually can tinker with, and also when you put something in, the importance of having free and open source software so that you know how they work, and
or at the very least not disabling the device when you replace a piece This is a 1980s or 1990s model unit, and it has a 3-volt NiCad battery inside it that keeps the memory alive. It's also got a whole bunch of capacitors in there too, and people who service these on a regular basis recommend that you replace the caps and you absolutely replace the little NiCad battery that goes inside there. And so I opened this one up and had a look inside, and sure enough, the NiCad battery had started to leak, and it hadn't reached the motherboard yet, so I was very, very lucky. Yeah. But it certainly had started to leak. So, yep, so I'm very glad that I fixed that. I also have the same thing for the Model 102, but I messed up the keyboard connection for it, and I've broken it, so I have to figure out how to fix that. All right, one last round for everybody, and then we've got to finish this because we're running out of time. So, Peter, you go first, sir. Did you get your antenna fixed up? Your aerial?
Yeah, but I wouldn't use them again for obvious reasons. Because they're trying to tell me if I put a little air up, I do better than the big one I got up. And they put a 2-element up, and I told them a 2-element won't work as well as my, they couldn't understand that one. So, anyway, my wife's cousins are on Wednesday to put the aerial up for me, two of them. Hopefully we're going to get them on the tower again. I've also put a vertical up, so I've been cementing. I cemented a couple of posts into the garden all last week. So I dig a big hole about 4 feet, and then I bang the bow in, the aluminium
bow. Peter, I have to give the other folks a chance.
Okay. Anyway, but
Doug, what you been up to, sir?
Just my usual working.
You've been tinkering with anything technical, electronic, anything like that?
Not this week. When I get time, I want to set up a VPN and a pie hole.
Okay.
But other than that, no.
Are you looking to use a VPN to get back into your house, or are you using to use a VPN to reach out to other places?
Well, I was thinking that I could set it up so that I could use it wherever I am, that and Pi Hole. If I use a static IP address, I think I can connect to that wherever I am, and then Pi Hole and the VPN would both work. Oh, right. Look who's signing in.
Yeah, I know.
Guys?
I know. I just saw him show up.
I didn't mean to crash a party.
That's okay. I don't see any video from you, Peter.
You mean Robbie.
I mean, Robbie, I'm so sorry. It's always Peter that has problem with video. So while we're waiting for Robbie to bring up some video, there he is.
There he is.
I was just
Robbie.
About, Okay. Robbie, it's 25 minutes and I was just about to shut us down and then you showed up. So now I've got to make it longer. It's all your fault, just so you know.
Sorry. No. I don't need to take any time. I just wanted to say hi. I want to show you something.
Hi!
Look at what I was working on today.
Nice. Ooh, doesn't that look
Ultimate
parody?
Open source NAS.
Oh, nice.
And not only am I building an open source NAS, but I needed to convert one of my SSDs to a full-size 3.5-inch bay. So I'm 3D printing.
Yeah, man.
Drive tray adapter.
Absolutely. Of course you are.
Amen.
Nice.
So. Bye-bye, one.
Now, are you using a an SBC to drive that thing, or are you just to drive the 3D printer? Or are you just using an SD card, or how are you
using a single board computer?
Single board computer, it has, like a Raspberry Pi.
You're going to see it. Not a Raspberry Pi.
An Odroid, is it?
It's actually a COBOL device.
Ooh, so, nice. That looks like a pretty powerful device.
Yeah, it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. SATA headers. Wow. It's got M.2. It's built to be an open source NAS. So that's the box from it. There's the branding.
Oh, no. I was talking about the 3D printer, Robbie.
Oh, the 3D.
What are you using to drive the 3D
NAS.
Printer?
No, 3D printer has its own computer. It's got its own computer built in.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm just printing from an SD card.
Oh, okay.
If you want, you can connect a single board computer up to it, like a Raspberry Pi, stick like OctoPrint on there or something that, and then you can, then you don't have to keep swapping SD cards in and out.
Nice.
I might do that eventually because I'd like to make it so that I can remotely print stuff and then come in to pick it up kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But is there an advantage to that? I don't really know yet. So for now, I just pull the SD card out of the built-in computer.
Nice.
What are we going to use the new NAS device for?
What's that,
Solomon? What are we going to use the new device for?
The new NAS?
Yeah.
I'm building what's called Last Line Backup. It's a new software product that I'm developing. Last Line Backup is just like it sounds. It is the last backup in a redundant backup set, and it is a write-only backup. So it cannot be affected by ransomware or any other kind
of... You mean read-only backup, don't you?
No, write-only
backup. Write-only. Well, then it can be impacted by NASware, by
it can
ransomware.
It's a bit of a different infrastructure. We don't need to get into it at the end of the
conference. Oh man.
It has multiple layers. So it's a write-only backup, and then that backup is locked once it's written. It cannot be rewritten over.
Okay.
So that's what the device is for. So.
I'm sorry to do this, guys, but I gotta leave.
Me
that's
too.
All right. We've got to finish up anyway. We're done in any case. So it's 30 minutes. So thanks, Robbie. Good to
Take
see
care,
you, man.
Everybody.
Yeah, you too.
Good to see you.
Yeah, no worries at all. All right. Well, stay safe. And we will catch up again next week.
Next week, maybe Sasha is coming.
I hope so. Coming. That'll be nice. Yeah, I know. It's cool, isn't it?
It is cool.
Yeah. He's been rocking that set for a few weeks, but you haven't been here to see it, Robbie. Ah!
Yeah.
All right, I'm out of here. Have a great afternoon, everyone. Bye-bye.